Question. In the Mahabharata war, wasn't Arjuna's killing his own relatives immoral? And wasn't Krishna's asking him to kill his relatives immoral? For example, if today people started killing their relatives like this over property, then there would be chaos. Answer. Firstly, the dispute between Pandavas and Kauravas was not just a property dispute. It was a dharmic dispute. Property was an issue that became a flashpoint for recognizing the difference in the dharmic understandings of the two people. But the primary issue was dharma, adherence to dharma, and defiance of dharma. So, dharma here can be understood in three ways. One is the dharma of the Kshatriyas, what they themselves are supposed to do. Second is the dharma of the Kshatriyas towards their citizens. Second, and third is the dharma of a devotee. So these are three levels of dharma. Now, from the point of view of Kshatriya dharma, the Kshatriyas are expected to rule, and that is how they are supposed to earn their living. Now, within the Vedic culture, every varna is meant to do a particular function in society, and when people do that function, then the whole of society functions properly in a harmonious and balanced whole. So now, the Kshatriyas, if they don't rule, they need to have some area to rule. And if they don't have, then that becomes a violation of their Kshatriya dharma. And the Pandavas were, if we look at, they were ready to forfeit practically all their property rights. And they just asked for 5 villages. So if it had just been a property dispute per se, imagine if there are 2 brothers who are having a property dispute and both want, say, 50-50% share. And if one of them, just to avoid the property dispute, agrees for just 0.1% of the property, he says, let's avoid the dispute. And then even then the other person says, no, I will not give you 0.1% also. Then the very willingness of first party to accept that that I will just be satisfied with the 0.1% of the property, that indicates that party is not really interested in property. Because 0.1% of the property, how much would that be? Especially as compared to 50%. So, the Pandavas were definitely not greedy for land and property. If that was their goal, then they would never have settled for 0.1%, such a small, just 5 villages. And if Krishna had been instigating the whole thing as a property dispute, then also he would not have settled, he would not himself have proposed when he went as a peace messenger that just a 0.1% could be accepted. Now, beyond that, let us look at the duty of the Kshatriyas towards their citizens. Now, for the Pandavas to have their own wife insulted and almost violated was reprehensible. But they were even ready to forgive that. But however, Duryodhana, he might have had some charitable tendencies, and he might have had some Kshatriya virtues, but he also had a demoniac streak with him, which was quite dangerous. And to have such a person ruling the world would be an injustice to the citizens. So the Pandavas needed to, as a duty to their citizens, protect the citizens by providing them a responsible king. Now, some historians have, with respect to the Mahabharata itself, historian based on certain verses which are there in the Mahabharata, some scholars and historians have different opinions whether Duryodhana was a very extremely bad ruler. There are definitely some scholars who say that, and there are some others who say that Duryodhana was not such a bad ruler. Now, this second statement is actually based on Yudhishthira's self-condemnatory statement. Yudhishthira starts saying later on, after the war is won and the extent of the bloodshed that has happened starts sinking in, Yudhishthira starts condemning himself that actually Duryodhana was a good ruler and there was no need for me to have killed so many people just to get the throne for myself. Now, those statements should not be taken as indicative that actually speaking, Yudhishthir was, you could say, interchangeable as a ruler with Duryodhana. That from the moral point of view, both were of equal caliber. That would be a terrible misrepresentation of the situation. Because if we look at the overall setting of the Mahabharata, certainly from the moral and virtuous point of view, there is just no comparison between the caliber of Yudhishthir and Duryodhana. Yudhishthir was definitely a far, far, far more virtuous ruler. Now, on the other hand, so the self-statements of Yudhishthir should not be taken that way. And actually, there are several scholars who have pointed out. So there are actually several historical scholars who have pointed out that Yudhishthir's rule was virtuous and Duryodhana's rule was quite vicious, quite malicious. So now, if we look at the third devotional perspective, it is also to be illustrated in the Mahabharata that Paradharma is taught through Bhagavad Gita. And the Paradharma is that one should devote oneself to Krishna whatever happens. So now, when Krishna did all that was possible to avoid conflict, what all did the Pandavas do to avoid conflict? Actually, when Balram and Krishna came to the forest after the Pandavas had been exiled, Balramji was so angry, he said that gambling match was rigged and all of you should right away go back. And that was almost like his desire, very strong desire. And we should go back and get the kingdom and you should live in the kingdom. And if they don't give you the kingdom, you have a right to attack also. But then Yudhishthira Maharaj and others felt that it was not an advisable course, because that would inevitably lead to conflict, because Duryodhana would definitely not give the kingdom back. So, considering that the gambling match was rigged, what was the rigging in that match? That normally when the match happens, the two people who are fighting, they are the persons who are supposed to put their wealth. But Duryodhana was playing and Shakuni was throwing the dice for him. So, to have one person throwing the dice and another person putting the money was not proper. So that itself was wrong, and there are several other things which are also wrong. That will be a different answer. But suffice it to say that even at that time the Pandavas had a right to go back and claim their kingdom. But they did not. In the interests of peace, they endured 13 years of exile, including especially the last year of incognito exile, where they had to live practically as servants for another king, which was very mortifying for Kshatriyas. But they did that for what purpose? Just so that there could be a restoration of a peaceful, or at least non-inimical relationships between them and the Kauravas. And after that also, Krishna himself went to Shantidut, and Krishna talked with the full Pandava assembly, Kaurava assembly, and he offered the ultimate concession of allowing us 5 villages. So after all this was done, when the other party was not ready to settle, then what could be done? What was necessary was to be done. So again, it is not just a property dispute. A property dispute is one thing, but there was violent aggression with the attempt to kill that was done on the Pandavas. In trying to violate Draupadi was not just a property dispute. Trying to burn the Pandavas alive in Varanavat was not just a property dispute. Trying to kill Bhima with a poisoned cake was not just a property dispute. So there was arson, there was murder, there was rape, all those things was attempted, practically speaking. So even from the modern moral point of view, as well as the Vedic moral point of view, those who attack with the intention of killing, to defend oneself at that time, killing is not considered wrong. So there are 6 kinds of atataina which are talked about in Vedic culture. Atataina. So atataina means those who come with stretched bows, those who are aggressors. So if they come and they try to kill a person, then countering them and killing them for the sake of self-defense is not considered wrong. So the whole Pandava's battle was actually fought for self-defense, in the sense that actually they had a right to fight it right at the time when they discovered Bhima was poisoned, or they had a right to fight it when they were when the attempt was made to burn them in Varanavat. They had a right to fight it when Draupadi was being disrobed. But during all those times, they restrained themselves. So that's why it might appear as if they are the provokers of the war. But they were not the provokers of the war. And certainly Krishna is not the provoker of the war. It is Duryodhana who was the provoker of the war. And the fact that the war did not take place for 13 years ago was testimony to the restraint of the Pandavas. And the fact that even after Pandava showed 13 years of restraint, Duryodhana did not grant to the Pandavas what was due to them, shows his total insolence, his utter brazenness, which could not have been remedied by any peaceful means. So the Mahabharata war is definitely not an example that can be used for waging war against anyone and everyone. And it is definitely not immoral. It was a reaction to sustained immorality and violence against them. And the Pandavas tried all possible means to avoid that. And even when nothing else worked, then as a last resort they had to use the violence. So therefore, there is nothing immoral about the war that the Pandavas fought.